on the front line of freedom. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with a World War II veteran who just celebrated his 95th birthday, Leonard Heinrichs, originally from Enid, Oklahoma. He makes his home now in Dinuba, California. Mr. Heinrichs was one of 69 World War II veterans who just participated in the inaugural Central Valley Honor Flight. We're going to discuss that before we're done today. He spent most of his time in World War II as a surgical technician in the area of Foggia, Italy. And he was sharing before the break how the surgeon that he worked under didn't want Leonard handling the sutures on soldiers, but he would let him handle civilian cases like young children and older folks.
I know you lived it, but I think for a lot of other people, it's probably pretty jarring to imagine young, innocent children that are wounded because of a war that they have nothing to do with. Was that difficult for you to look at these children, imagine them maybe even as your own children, as you're trying to stitch them up and make them well?
Well, I enjoyed with the kids because I had to have a good time. When I first got there, there were very few people in Foggia. So the kids slowly, and the parents slowly came back into the town. It was a town of maybe, I would just guess that it would be about 30 to 35,000 was the population at the time when before the war. You know, I was with the aviation engineers, so we had equipment that made ditches. And in the beginning, we pushed the bodies into those ditches, and we didn't have any idea who they were, and they just had to be put away because otherwise the bodies would begin to get real.
They would start to decay, and I'm sure you'd never dealt with anything like this before. How difficult was that to see all the death and destruction around you?
I don't think that I thought about that. I just said it had to be done.
Did you hear from home much? Did you get letters from your wife?
Yeah, I remember one of the guys was kidding me, so I knocked him down, and he says, "You know, you get upset real easy when you don't get any mail." Yeah, just had to have that one little thing, and that would encourage me. I didn't have a bad time over there. I wasn't in a lot of danger, so I just was hoping one of these days I'm going to go home again.
Did it ever wear on you, the work that you had to do, the amount of soldiers in certain conditions or civilians, like you mentioned, to see so many of them hurting? Was that difficult?
I don't think so. It just had to be done.
Maybe it sounds too like that it was a source of fulfillment for you, or a source of pride, knowing that you were helping people?
Yeah, that's for sure. At least I was doing something positive. I was accomplishing something.
Are there specific faces that you remember of some of the people that you helped to treat? Are there certain circumstances that you felt really privileged to have been able to help them live through what they went through?
I was just part of the gang. The guys seemed to appreciate it.
And did you interact much with the bomber crews, the pilots and navigators and bombardiers and gunners? Did you spend much time around them?
Not really. On rare occasions. And then the only activity was taking care of the wounded. The engineers that I was with more than I was with the pilots, they made airfields in between the front lines sometimes, and I never offered to go. I could have, but one of the guys in our outfit knew Italian, so he would enjoy going along, and because they made the airfields at night in between the front lines. So, like I said, I never was in a lot of danger, but I was always looking forward to the time when I'd be going home.
Well, and eventually you would get to go home, but it took a pretty massive effort and a pretty massive sacrifice to make that possible. When you saw those friends of yours and the engineers and saw the runways they were able to hastily put together, sometimes under fire, when you saw the 200 bombers taking off at the same time. Was it ever awe-inspiring? Was it ever impressive to you? Did you ever wonder at the magnitude of all of it?
The magnitude. Oh, yeah. Just amazed me that how many would be up there and getting into formation. And the man that replenished our supply of bombers, Jake Entz, he later on was the jeweler here in town, and he would know how many bombers had gone down, because he said, he knew that sometimes we would lose as half of the bombers. Usually, not more than 30 to 40 bombers would go down at each time that we would send them out. But that's a lot.
And I understand one of the more, I guess, memorable, but also gruesome and difficult cases that you had as far as medical treatment was someone whose scalp you had to stitch up. What's the story there?
Yeah. The worst case I had where I did the suturing was a man that had working on the roof. And he bent the metal roofing in such a way that he scraped his scalp. And he just pulled the skin off of the scalp to at least half of the scalp was laying it back. So that was most interesting, because that was the worst case of suturing that I had to do.
This was an Italian civilian?
Italian older gentleman, yeah.
So you had his scalp was basically a flap on top of his head, and you had to sew it back on.
Yeah, he just had to flap it back and clean it up first. And then anyway, yeah, that was most interesting. The kids never had gotten real bad, at least the ones that I saw.
I bet the kids liked you if you were the guy that fixed them up. I bet they were real smiley at you.
Yeah, once in a while I would be in an ambulance, and the kid would wave at me, and I felt good about it.
I know all of this is emotional, and you talked earlier about when you were growing up and speaking only German, that you had to speak German in church. Here you've got a wife back home, you've got all this crazy stuff around you, you're seeing these incredible cases of injuries and wounds. Was your faith something that you found solace in? Is this a situation where you found yourself praying a lot over there?
Oh, yeah. I've always went to activity like a church service. We would sometimes have that. And I would sing in the choir if they had any choir, and felt a real comfort in knowing that God answered my prayers. That was real, real good.
Were there any specific times where you really felt that he was protecting you, that things could have been different for you had he not been protecting you?
Well, just a matter of time that I felt like, well, at least God is with me if I didn't have any protection or any other way. I was enjoying real fellowship with my Lord.
You were pretty sure you were going to come home?
Yeah, under the circumstances where I was, yeah. My surgeon would give me privileges that some of the other guys didn't have. And I went to the front lines to see my friend that I had grown up with in German area early in my life. And I found out through my parents, they got the address for me through some of their friends. And so I hitchhiked to Rome, and then hitchhiked to Florence. And then the front line was just a little ways over the hill. So I visited him by hitchhiking on a big truck. They were getting big boulders to be making a bridge. I don't know why I thought that he wouldn't stop, because he had so many big lumber trees and But he stopped, and he would stop at every sentry until we got to the same place, to the place where this guy was had been in front lines. But they pulled back for 3 days, so I stayed with him for about a day and a half. And he says, "You want to experience the front lines?" And I said, "Well, sure."
What were you thinking?
I don't know. And so the commander says of his outfit, I said, "Well, he'll become a member of our outfit." He says, if he wants to see the front lines, that's okay. But he says, we're going to push into Pole Valley. And we're not coming back for they usually would come back for a few days and once in a while. He says, "Nope, that's not going to happen." So I of course just told him no. Anyway, I went along with him to the close to the front lines in a half track. You know what that is? Oh yeah, okay. And then they didn't even stop to let me out. I had a roll out. And so then there I was in the middle of no place. And all of a sudden, here comes a guy on a Jeep. And he took me along back to Florence. Oh, and then... this friend of mine wrote back to me. He says, you would be dead." And he says, if you had stayed with me, because he said guys on either side of him had been killed. Yeah. So I would have been one of those dead people.
And that means that four of your children and a bunch of grandkids and great-grandkids would have never been born had that happened. Yeah. But your first son... was born while you were still overseas. Did you find out while you were in Italy that you were a daddy?
Oh, yeah, I did. I found out that everybody else did, too. Everybody else found out. And then one of the other guys, he says, "Well, I just became a daddy, too." He says, "My wife is, he was from Virginia, and he was hadn't had too many years in school. And he says, I've been gone for 14 months. And he says, I just became a daddy." and he meant every bit of it. He just.
And I'm sure you didn't ruin it for him, right?
No way. No way. Yeah.
But your math was a little better. And I imagine that gave you another reason to hurry home if that was possible. Not that you had much of a choice, huh?
I didn't have a choice. And I was put in charge of the dispensary at my after my surgeon had enough points to go home. So I was in charge of the dispensary for 4 months before I had a chance to go home. Whatever I had learned how to do some of the smaller surgeries, and so if I didn't feel like I was competent, though I could always. Send them to the station hospital.
Do you remember when you found out the war in Europe was over and what that meant to you?
There were the people in the town. Oh my, they all came out on the street. They were so happy and so... even though we had been against war, had war against Italy and some of their relatives, but they still appreciated the fact that the war was over, even though there were very few men of certain ages that were there. Why they were real tickled so that we had finally won the war.
And I'm sure for you, that meant you knew it was closer to coming home, right?
Yeah.
Well, how about we find out what that was like when we come back? 95-year-old Leonard Heinrichs of Dinuba, California, is telling us his story today. Remember, if there's a veteran in your life that you want me to try to catch up with, you can let me know through the Hometown Heroes Facebook page or just email me, paul@hometownheroesradio.com. I hope that as we're in the midst of Veterans Day weekend, you will take the time to thank all the veterans in your life. We cannot take our freedom or the price that's been paid for it for granted. Back with the rest of Mr. Heinrich's story after this, including the recent chapter with Honor Flight and also a bit of a buried treasure mystery. We'll get to that when Hometown Heroes continues after this. If you are a World War II veteran and you have not been to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., Honor Flight wants to take you there free of charge. The sooner you submit an application, the sooner Honor Flight can get you to your memorial. In Kern County or the Central Coast, call Lily Marsh at 661-544-VETS. That's 661-544-VETS. Or go to honorflightkerncounty.org. For Fresno, Madera, Merced, Mariposa, Kings, or Tulare counties, check out CV Honor Flight, CV as in Central Valley, CVHonorFlight.org, or call Al Perry at 559-970-9853. That's 559-970-9853. Maybe you're the son or daughter of a veteran and you'd like to go along as a guardian. There are applications for that too, and there are other ways you can help. Donations to Honor Flight are tax deductible. We all owe our freedom and liberty to the men and women who put their lives on the line for it. Let's all come together now behind Honor Flight and give our veterans one more tour with honor.